Last time we spoke, we talked a lot about potential presidential candidates, and in the news lately, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie's had a little bit of a foray I don't want to call it a scandal, but people are going to call it a scandal with the mayor of a borough in New Jersey about lane closures for the George Washington Bridge. And we were talking last time about how everyone likes Chris Christie as a potential presidential candidate, but there are some skeletons in his closet that no one knows about publicly nationwide. A lot of people in New Jersey know all about it, and that was kind of his detractions back when he first ran for governor. With this coming out now, do we see some of those old skeletons coming out about who Chris Christie not really is, but you know, what people don't know about him?
Yes. And when we last spoke, that is one of the points I wanted to make, is that if people will spend some time reading about Chris Christie, and it doesn't matter if it's reading about him as the Attorney General in New Jersey, which he was, or reading about how his first term as governor went, or reading about the things that are easily available personally, I don't think most people, especially most people in the South, are going to come away feeling good about that. And I think we're now seeing a very good example of it. He raised the issue yesterday of whether or not he's a bully. That's a big part of this. But I come at it a different way. I've read from the, I don't know how many articles now since 2 days ago on this subject, and I just am coming at this from a different direction. Number one, people who work around, much less directly for, any political personality, especially one as bombastic as Chris Christie, what they know is staff does not do things that they don't believe that person agrees with. You just don't do it. With folks like that, you lose your job if you do it, and everybody knows that. So what did he know? When did he know it? I don't know. Is it really a complete shock to him? It cannot be. That brings me to the real point, I think. We found out at the same time this was happening, just coincidentally, that the long-awaited Justice Department investigation into the IRS targeting conservatives, we finally found out who was in charge of the investigation. The person in charge is a lady who has given Barack Obama just under $7,000 in political contributions. Now, that means the president picked that lady because he wanted to send a message via Eric Holder, the attorney general, to the political right. And the message was, the hell with all of y'all. This is what I think of this issue. This is what I think of the investigation. Now, let's see what y'all are going to do about it. Chris Christie, at the same time, is messing around with something, he and or his people, messing around with something as fundamental as traffic, as school buses getting through, ambulances getting through. My point is this. We have lost sight in America of the fact that very few people are qualified to be president. Very few people are experienced enough. Very few people have, frankly, the temperament to be president. Barack Obama was nowhere near prepared to be president. The country is paying for that. Chris Christie is nowhere near prepared to be president. We need to move past them. There are a lot more people out there that seem, at least on paper and from what we can observe, much better qualified. That's a lesson we got to learn. Quit with the star power. And let's get back to who can govern this very, very divided country and do it with some sense of maturity and safety and proper temperament. We don't do that anymore. We just want these folks to be rock stars, and we're paying one heck of a price for that.
And how did this happen? I mean, we can look back, and many people, probably of younger generations, maybe back in, I'm just throwing in a number here, but maybe like the 80s or something, sitting there and saying that, you know, the politicians they had then, or in their case now, or however you want to explain it, you know, they're boring old white guys who aren't cool, and, you know, they're the president, you know, they're hard rumps, whatever you want, however you want to describe it. And now we see these people like Barack Obama. I mean, you can even make the case for George W. Bush. He was kind of like the guy you want to hang out with in a way. You see these people come through. And how do we get from being, okay, we have the George Washingtons and the Abraham Lincolns to the George Bushes and the Barack Obamas?
You know, I've been fortunate, Dennis, that in my career I have worked around and consumed the product of the work of a lot of old-school politicians, office holders, presidents. I've studied them. I've been able to be with some of them. I definitely understand their differences, and I think the answer to your question is this. We've had it way too easy in America. The people that you want to lead this country are people who have been tested by things like the Great Depression, things like World War II. These are people who understand what is hanging in the balance. They lived it. They survived it. They were completely shaped by it. Most importantly, they were matured by it. In those people, there is a chance of true and spectacular, in some cases, leadership. People who have never had it anything but easy don't make good leaders because they are absolutely handicapped. They only know the view of the world that is rah-rah and cheerleaders and technology and all the rest of that. They know nothing about the downside risk to a country like America. And what we did is we had it so easy that we sold out to a news media to tell us what we need to know, a news media that is in the business of making money. We should never do that. And that is, in essence, what America is. We look to the news media. We look to, of all things, the entertainment industry to tell us who might be qualified for elective office. That is why all of this is on the shoulders of the people of America. We can get all fired up about who the president is or who a Chris Christie or, gosh, a Bobby Jindal is. We, the people, elected them. And those of us who know or believe the kinds of things I'm saying are in a distinct minority. The more scary way to put it, then, is you run this string of non-substance out just far enough and something really bad happens, and then the clock gets reset. How America will be tested, I don't know, but it will be because we don't know any longer, we don't have the leaders any longer, who know how to keep whatever that event is from happening. That's where it's headed, and we ought to be able to see that. All we got to do is study history.
And if we want to look at where we are right now, I mean, what other paths are there? What sort of politician should we be looking at? Because, I mean, last time we talked, we were talking about, you know, Akeli Ayotte as being a potentially good Republican nominee. But, you know, looking back at her history, I mean, it's kind of like Chris Christie's in a way where she hasn't had many big challenges. She's been an attorney general for New Hampshire. Yeah, you know, she's done things. What type of politician, and this could be just a generic sort of thing, I mean, are we talking about, let's say, like a Rudy Giuliani, I guess, would be an example of, you know, someone where there was a tragedy that happened, you know, absolute devastation. He, or even you could argue Mike Bloomberg had to come through and fix the city. Is that the sort of thing we're talking about here?
Yes, it is. And that there's very little of it available. And by the way, I mentioned Kelly Ayotte so positively because I like the fact that she is married to, this is one example, a war veteran. I think that's important. She is also someone, when you read her biography, there is nothing in there like you would find in a George W. Bush biography, or in the Bill Clinton biography, or the Hillary Clinton biography, or particularly the Barack Obama biography. There's nothing in her biography that sets off alarms about the kinds of experiences she had growing up and what the influence was from her parents and others of her family. So those are two examples. But the other one is, I think the men have fouled things up plenty well enough for us to look almost as a default, not to anyone based on race, but I think, yes, to gender. I think it's time to find out how women in extraordinary circumstances govern. I have an instinctive belief from what I've seen in my career that they would govern better, that they have a much, much greater heart than they have, frankly, an awful lot of things that are overly aggressive. And I'm not saying we don't need a strong defense, and she believes in one at least to the degree that I do, but you're making a great example. I mean, we have to find things like Rudy Giuliani and 9/11 to start understanding are the markers that we're looking for. Look at Harry Reid. Look at Nancy Pelosi. Look at Barack Obama. Look at a lot of people like Chris Christie in the Republican Party. What you see are people who, frankly, they just turned into professional politicians. They could just as easily spent their careers in business or in just about anything else. There's nothing extraordinary there. We've got 315 million people in this country who will be governed by a few hundred. We ought to look for extraordinary people.
And you also talked about the media and how things have become, I guess, rah-rah or entertainment-based. And you could say it's from all sides. You want to look at the liberal side, you can say the news media, or you could say, you know, different outlets, even online. There's some, you know, left-leaning side outlets that promote certain things. You could let the opposite side, right-leaning media. You could talk some talk radio. You could talk even some other websites, Drudge Report would be a great example, where they just kind of funnel all these different thoughts and theories about the way things should be governed and the way the government should operate. Have any of these played a positive or negative role in the development of politics in the United States?
I think it's very positive that the Internet is giving us an extraordinary, possibly too much so, diet of an awful lot of alternate thinking. And to just be simple, alternate means not traditional media. We grew up, boomers, believing that the news was something to be reported. It was not something to be made by the reporters. And that's where we live today. So, in addition to the traditional media, we used to have people who were in the opinion business. We learned over time that their opinions were, in fact, a stacked deck. And it was always going to stay that way unless something happened like a game changer called the Internet. It's a very, very distinct good thing for America and for the rest of the world that we can hear now, read now, what people say who are not professional partisans and who really are just trying to lead us to information that they think is important. I think the real problem is that Americans don't invest in the process at all. They would much rather follow a star, and that's Barack Obama. There will never be a better model. They didn't want to find out if he should be president. They wanted their thinking done for them. And that's where even the Internet and all of its content can be very bad. So when it's all said and done, no matter what we have, no matter what we change, we count on an individual to care enough about the country to spend a little bit of time reading about what's going on. And Dennis, the number of Americans who do that is at an all-time low and still dropping.
Is this an educational problem where kids aren't learning to do the research themselves? Or really, I mean, is it just people wanting to laugh instead of to read?
It is. It's about culture. And it's about the acculturation process that we've watched now over the last couple of decades particularly. And I want to be sure we note, as I was saying in the beginning, what corresponds with that acculturation that is so remarkable and not good in a lot of ways over the last 20 years is we had a flood of money, a lot of it borrowed, we now know, that people were spending on all manner of things. As there was more money available, all of a sudden, people started going in the opposite direction of substance. And that's because most of America's acculturation is really just marketing. It's really just people sitting down and trying to figure out how to sell their widget to X thousands of people. How we take how to lead a country out of that, I don't know, but it's the biggest mistake we could make. Marketing is marketing. Marketing is sales. Marketing says, I have a product. I'm a Republican. I'm a Democrat. I have a brand. I want to sell it to you. And the major news media sold out to those people for their profits. That's why I read an editorial this morning where a person was saying he has defaulted to watching the BBC to get the news. Others have defaulted to public television in America to get the news. Now, we found out that's not nonpartisan either. But the point is, I don't think it's ideological. I think we have to concentrate on running from marketing and remembering that what happens to the American experiment shouldn't depend on a sales culture. It's got to be something else. And it's all up to us, because the media is going to keep making money. They're not going to lead us where we need to go.